you're just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculpture.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Hello, yes, we're on Who Arted with Amy Ralphini and Anita Levering. How are you guys today?
Good.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Joel. We're good. Okay, so today on Who Arted, we have painter Anita Levering, who's chatting with me about her current exhibition titled The Derive,
yeah.
Which is on up in, at Room 2 in the Sanderson in Newmarket. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you very much, Amy.
Thank you for coming onto the show today. So I went to your opening on Tuesday night, and what struck me is about your work is online your painting looks as though you have tapped pigment onto a wet surface and allowed the paint to crawl outwards of its own accord, spreading tentacles of colour over the painting surface and creating a series of organic-looking orbs. But in the flesh, it looks like these modular forms have been constructed by hand. Do you construct these organic-looking sort of seepages by hand, or are you letting the paint do its own thing organically?
Yeah, good question. They are constructed by hand, but not necessarily my hand.
Whoa.
Oh dear.
What does that
what
mean?
What am I saying? Well, as I don't know if you read my artist statement online on my website or on the Sanderson website, but I'm interested in chance procedures.
Yes.
So I'd like to invite unexpected things into the painting process. And it started really with inviting, for example, the weather into the work.
Yep.
And at some point we lived in Waiterua, and as you know, that's like a water catchment area. And it was like, but it was really extreme up there because we were high up the hill and there were days where we were surrounded by clouds and we were literally in the clouds and couldn't see out at all. So, and it was quite claustrophobic and it consumed my whole being and my whole life up there. So I thought, and I was also starting my master's at Elam at that moment in time. So I thought, well, why do I not work with the thing I'm in and invite these neuroses into my work. So I started to play with the weather and had paintings outside in the rain, which caused all sorts of problems, of course, because either the rain would wash it away or the paint. So I had to look for other sorts of paint that would stick with the water pouring down.
Yeah.
And so I managed that, but there were also other problems whereby the stretcher bars were soaked with water and they burst and literally snapped because of the water.
Stretcher bars, the stretcher bars. What are they?
These are the woody bits
where
the canvas is wrapped around.
Yeah.
And I do stretch my own canvases.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So if you stretch it very tight and the water will expand the wood, then it broke.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to deal with all these kinds of things. So I thought, well, bugger the stretcher bars and I will use the canvas as it is.
Yeah.
So then I started to work like on the soil or on the floor, and I also work a lot outside but also inside anyway. So it evolved from that, really, that I sort of invite the unexpected into the work, but also natural elements. And of course, when you do these things in the beginning, it's all exciting and new things happen, but at some point in time you can manipulate it.
Yeah.
And then I'm losing interest because then I'm not challenged anymore.
Yeah.
And then the work becomes predictable. So, looking outward for other forms. And this body of work was actually created in Amsterdam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Where I've been the last couple of months.
Did you, with this work in Amsterdam, so the latest series that you've got up at Sanderson, that was inspired. Did you go outside with it or anything? Like, how did the element of chance play a role in this latest series that you've
I had it was both, really. There were big barn doors in the studio, so I could open them out and have a good flow of indoor, outdoor. But it was more that I invited organisms into the work. So I've been experimenting lately with, for example, deteriorating things like molds and, you know, erosion. And it happened also while working outside that, you know, insects landed in the work.
Oh, yes.
And they created the most amazing random lines.
Yeah, that's quite
that
sweet.
I didn't want at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I thought, well, what if I let them help me?
Yeah. So do you, so when you're, I'm just curious about how much of, like, so to look at your work in the, we'll talk about the latest body of work up at Sanderson. It's like these kind of like organic kind of shapes that have kind of grown as if you've let pigment crawl on the canvas.
Yeah.
So that's happening, that's done by you, and then you put it outside and let the rain do the rest?
No. I've set up the circumstances. I facilitated the work. So okay. I've actually introduced living creatures into the work and they have laid the traces. So these traces, these lines are actually created.
They're quite fat lines.
Yeah.
Are they, you didn't bring mice or anything into the scene?
No. In this instance, if you really insist knowing, these were larvae.
Oh, my goodness.
They traveled until the paint ran out.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What kind of larvae?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I'm curious.
Well, there are several, but
you don't have to.
I don't know if I should reveal too much of my processes.
Okay, that's okay.
But, you know.
Quite massive.
Yeah, it's very labor intense.
Oh, it creeps me out. Did they get into the studio or anything like that? Like into the, did they get in, the larvae get inside? And I mean, did they, are you worried about them creeping on you?
No. They're harmless. They're really good. They're really good. They're great because, yeah.
Did they survive?
Look at the results.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
Do you think?
They didn't survive?
I don't know.
Okay. Did,
yes, of course they survived.
Oh, they survived.
Yes.
So now
yes,
they're like bionic larvae that are hanging around Amsterdam.
No, they pupate.
What does that mean?
Yeah, they go into another stage of their life cycle.
Oh, yeah, and go into cocoons and
make... Yeah, they go in cocoons
butterflies.
And then they become something.
Ah, butterfly larvae, I bet it was. I was looking at your work and it's very... I guess you kind of fall into the abstraction camp a bit with the way it looks. What do you... How do you... Where do you see you fitting in terms of art genre? And what do you look to for inspiration?
Yeah, difficult, isn't it? In the beginning, I thought I would be fitting into the land art, would you believe?
Yeah.
But I'm a self-proclaimed painter. So, I just love paint. And if you're a land artist, I presume you would go out into the landscape and do something with the landscape or the environment. And I do, but I also don't. And so I don't know. I've got this obsession with paint and that the idea that I'm a painter and I'm committed. So, I see myself as an abstract painter. And you said you weren't quite sure about abstracts.
Well, I guess it could be, it depends on what you see abstraction as and whether or not you see it as a different type of illustrative or if it's a different kind of recording or... Because it's quite a surface... Abstraction is a term that's describing a visual surface, but actually when you have processed-based creative kind of work like that, it's actually more of a documentation.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, for me it's about documenting forces of nature, and therefore I'm really also striving for a very organic, whatever that may be, look.
Yep.
Look and feel like I want to take myself out of the work. I don't want to have my hand in there. I think ideally for me the work evolves to something by itself, and it's not an abstraction, but it's a recording of what has happened, like a journey or an event.
I think that's something that's really special about painting that will always be special about painting is that it's very much, it's a moment in time. I guess it's kind of, in a way, I guess people could argue photography is, or any art is, but painting in particular has an element of the atmosphere which is really mixed, intermingled, that can't be reproduced because they're just one off.
Yeah.
Which, when, especially when you're working with the, I guess metaphorically, with the ingredients you've been using to help spread that journey on the canvas,
yeah,
has then metamorphosed into something else later,
yes,
on.
Yes.
How did you get them? Just about the larvae. So some of your work is like little starbursts. So it's like something's crawled out from that central pigment spot. But then some of it's crawling just up in almost straight lines from the base of the canvas. Did you, was that cut down from a bigger canvas? Did you direct the larvae? Or how did you control such equal distribution and behavioural patterns? Did you put sugar on the canvas? Or
there are ways to lure them, but...
I'm trying to find all your secrets out.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't have to tell me all your secrets.
No, I won't.
Okay.
But you know, yes, you can manipulate, but I do everything as trial and error, and that's the beauty of it, because the first canvas I made in this body of work, I thought it was a total failure, but the next... just let happen and let it all happen, and you know, you add water or not, or I don't know, anything, yep, can happen. Lights on, lights off, sound on, sound off.
So you're there with you're there while it's happening, but not, so you're painting but you're not painting, kind of thing, but you're,
yeah,
with it,
yeah, no,
with
I'm standing there like a director.
Yeah. Oh wow, this is great. What, just before we wrap things up, who do you look to for inspiration, artist-wise, painter-wise? Who do you really find yourself most inspired by or influenced by? Who are you really loving at the moment? Any artist, actually, not particularly painter.
Oh, yeah, there are so many from the 50s that I still really admire, you know, like the gushes of paint of Lewis Morris, but also like what, for example, our Judy Miller does. And in New Zealand, there are lots of good artists as well that I really admire. So it's very inspirational. But like worldwide, like Ólafur Eliasson, I really like what he does with nature as well. It's just... yeah, magnificent. And the scale of it, you know, like so big, and as an installation, that's yeah, wonderful. So I'm not necessarily only looking at painters, but yeah, also looking at other artists.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us today. Your show, The Rev, is on at Sanderson in Room 2, which is in Osborne Lane, number 2 Kent Street. And that's on until the 18th of March.
Yeah.
Perfect. I highly recommend everyone goes check it out. I went and had a look. It's really beautiful. So thanks, Anita.
Oh, thank you very much, Amy, for having me.
You're welcome.
Ooh, I like this.
Tray chic.
Tray cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.